Okay? Verse 1, the Word was in the beginning. That very Word was with God. And God was that Word. The same was in the beginning with God. Everything came to be by His hand, and without Him, not even one thing came to be of what was created. The life was in Him, and the life is the light of men. And the same light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that every man might believe by means of him. He was not the light, but to testify concerning the light. He was the true light, which lighteth every man who came into the world. He was in the world, and the world was under his hand, yet the world knew him not. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But those who received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, especially to those who believed in his name. Those who are not born of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, a glory like that of the firstborn of the Father, full of grace and truth. John witnessed concerning him and cried and said, "This is the one of whom I said that he is coming after me, and yet he is ahead of me because he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but truth and grace came into being by Jesus Christ. No man has ever seen God, but the firstborn of God, who is in the bosom of his Father, he has declared him." Amen. The gospel of Christ. And there's a couple things that I want to take a look at today. By the way, this Sunday is also called the Innocents Sunday, Martyrs Sunday, many churches celebrate those who have died for the cause of Christ. It's also Innocents Sunday is this Sunday where we remember the innocents that were slaughtered after Herod learned that the wise men had betrayed him and had not come back and told him where the baby Jesus was born. And so he had all of the babies 2 years of age and younger slaughtered. It shows the total depravity of man when one is trying to maintain his status, and that's all he was concerned about. He didn't want Jesus to be king because he was king. And not only that, but it also showed, Jesus had no control over this happening, but this is one of the prophecies concerning Messiah, and that these innocents, these babies, would die. And so, that's the, generally what is happening or being celebrated on this day. But today we want to look at, we've been going through a series, and we learned last time in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10 that because of what Jesus did, that he became the sacrifice that the Jewish people had, let me use the word, betrayed. Because the whole idea of the Mosaic form of worship and taking a beast and slaughtering it and offering it to God was that these are my sins that are being imparted to this animal, and it's my sins that this animal is being sacrificed for. And a very simple concept, except that with the Jews, it just became a ceremony. It just was a ceremony. That just by the offering, oh, my sins are forgiven. I'll go ahead and kill this cow, and my sins are forgiven. And there was no personal responsibility associated with that. And so year after year after year, so many thousands of animals were sacrificed because under the system of Moses, your sins could only be atoned for 1 year. Then you've got to do it all over again. There's an expiration date on that. That's one of Terry's favorite things when she's looking at medications or at canned food. She wants to see the expiration date. And she's of the opinion that expiration dates are a pure marketing device. That expiration dates are there so that if you look at something, oh, that's expired, we'll throw it away and then rush off to the store and buy another one. And so I believed her. This is good. Expiration dates mean nothing. And so last week I made up some cornbread and looked at the, I don't know, here's a couple boxes of Jiffy Mix. That, yeah, they've been up there for 3-4 years, something like that. And I mixed a couple of those packets up and threw it in the oven. And there was that much in the pan when I threw it in the oven. And there was about that much in the pan when I took it out. And Terry said, is it done yet? And I'm sitting on it, knocking on it like this. I said, oh yeah, it's done. It tasted, okay, but that was some hard cornbread. I'm here to tell you, if it wasn't for the fact that we were pouring some good old-fashioned Michigan chili over it and softening it up a little bit, that cornbread would probably be in the trash can today. But yes, things do come with an expiration date. And so this was something that every good Jewish believer had to do. Every year, is you had to go to temple, you had to present this sacrifice, and that sacrifice carried with it your sins. You were a sinner. Those sins and the penalty of those sins were imparted to this poor beast that never did anything. And then it gives its life. And that was only good for a year. But I mean, that's okay because they totally lost the whole concept and just figured, yeah, I'll show up, we'll kill a cow, and we'll go home. No, that was the extent of it. They didn't understand that it was their sins, the penalty for those sins that was being addressed as they would sacrifice those animals. And so it had to be done every year. So we read in Hebrews chapter 10, where God then, because the Jews messed it all up, just, it became a ceremony for them, God said, we're going to provide just one perfect, sinless body. One that comes into this world totally free from sin. One that is going to live a life totally free from sin. And one on whom the sins of the whole world can be imparted. And the Word of God says that he who knew no sin became sin for us. And as I said last week, that's what Jesus did. He became sin. That's why the Father couldn't even look at him when he was hanging on that cross. And so the Christmas season is all about God giving us a better way. And we read in Hebrews chapter 10 that the former things are taken away so that the latter things can show forth, can shine forth. And so we don't sacrifice animals anymore, do we? All right, why? Because the perfect sacrifice has already been paid. And so on this day of the year in the church calendar, we talk about the getting the world ready for the light that was getting ready to shine in the darkness. Getting the world ready for Jesus. And John the Beloved is explaining here just who this Jesus was. And he's called the Word, the Logos. And we've explained before that there are three different words in the Greek that are translated Word. Alright, the first one is grapho, which is the act of writing something down, the physical act, where we get the word graphic from. Alright, the second word is logo, and that is the expressed desire of whoever is speaking. Alright, and that's what Jesus was. He was the expression of God's love. And then the rhema word is the spoken word. And so we take the logos word, which is the written word, and we speak it forth, and that way we are blessed by all the ways that the Word of God, that Jesus Christ, can be experienced. And so John starts off by saying, he's not using the word Jesus or Jesus Christ or Jesus Christo or anything like that. He's just using the word, Word. Why? Because it's the expression of God. God is expressing something new here. The Word, this thing that God is getting ready to do, the Word was in the very beginning with God. This is not something new. Oh yeah, 2,000 years ago, we have the Word being incarnate and brought onto this earth, but the Word has been around since before the foundations of the earth. Before the heavens were created, the Word was. So the Word was in the beginning. And that very Word was with God, and as a matter of fact, God was that Word. Alright, so the expression of God is God. And when God wanted to express himself to his creation, he used himself, his son, Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? All right, and the same was in the beginning with God. Again, Jesus just didn't show up 2,000 years ago. The Son has been here for before the creation of time. All right. Everything came to be by his hand. Talking about the Word. Everything came to be by his hand, and without him was not even one thing that came to be of what was created. And so when God stopped and he spoke this whole universe into existence, who was right there doing it with him? The Word. Amen? In him all things exist or are held together. That's who Jesus is. We breathe him. Remember we talked about the word Yahweh. First word we'll ever speak, the last word we'll ever speak. Yahweh. Amen? Jesus, the first word, logos, and the last. Amen? Okay. And life was in him. Life. Do we start life at the moment of birth? Do we start life at the moment of conception? Well, as an individual human being, yeah, that's when we start life at the moment of conception. But folks, we are known of God before he ever created the world. Amen? This is no new thing. I'm, 72 years old. I've got 72 years worth of experience on this earth. But God has known me from before the foundations of the world. Who knows me better? Not my wife. Not my children. He has known each of us even before He imparted that spark of life. We existed in Him from before the foundations of the world. All right? And the same light shines in the darkness. And that gets right back to what we've always been talking about. What is our Christian walk? Let your light so shine before man that they see your good works and glorify the Father. There is a light in each one of us. You may not be able to see it. Wouldn't it be neat? Remember on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came and there are lit on each head flames as of a fire? Okay? Wouldn't that be neat if that still happened today? That when you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you got a little flame? That might wearing a hat kind of difficult. I think I would forego wearing a hat if I could have a flame. All right. You know, in the Middle Ages and whatever, the Renaissance painters, when they would try to portray a saint, somebody who knew God, they would put a little halo around them. They're trying to show the light of God. We don't have that in the physical, but we can let our light so shine by our actions. Amen? Okay. And the same light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. Now, in the King James Version, it says, and the darkness comprehended it not. Okay? It uses a strange term there, but what it means in the original Greek was that they couldn't could it not understand it, it couldn't control it, it couldn't overcome it. And so when Jesus' light shined, believe me, the world did everything it could to extinguish that light, didn't it? Amen. Herod sent out the soldiers, kill off those babies. We can't run the risk. After Jesus comes back and 33 years and he goes into that time of fasting out in the desert, and then the Satan, the tempter, comes after him. Time after time, the world and the devil are coming after Jesus to extinguish his light. And John says, and the world could not overcome it. You know, sometimes you'll hear me talk about some of the persecution that the churches are facing in other countries. They may be facing persecution, but they're probably growing faster in those countries numerically than we are here in the United States. There's just something about the Church of Jesus Christ. And it's something that Satan hasn't figured out yet. If you persecute the Church of Jesus Christ, we're going to grow like weeds. Amen? How many of you remember the term the bamboo curtain? All right, there was that time when communism overtook China. And we had plenty of missionaries, a lot of churches growing and going over in China. And then all of a sudden the bamboo curtain comes or goes up. And everybody's concerned, oh, what are they doing to the Christians over there? How are the Christians faring? Are they being persecuted? Are they being marched off to death camps or whatever? And finally, in the 60s and the 70s, we start getting word back, there's more believers over there than in the rest of the world. All right. You persecute the Church of Jesus Christ, and we are going to grow. Amen? There's just something about the Church of Jesus Christ that when we face opposition, we just kind of get a Holy Ghost something going on that says, nay, nay, this is not going to happen. And so the world tried to wipe out Jesus when he came. Don't be surprised if the world and the God of this world, Satan, tries to neutralize our testimony and our witness. The world can't overcome Jesus. The world can't overcome the good news, the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Amen? And then it talks about John was coming. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, and he was here to testify concerning the light so that every man might believe by means of him. He was not that light, but he came to testify concerning that light. He, talking about Jesus, was the true light, which lighteth every man who comes in to this world. Everybody born has an opportunity to know God if we're doing our job. Amen? He was in the world, and the world was under his hand, yet the world knew him not. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. We know that happened as we look at the persecution, the false trials that Jesus went through before the cross. But listen to here in verse 12. But those who received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. All right? I want you to see something here. To those who receive him, how do you receive Jesus Christ? Remember, we've talked about it almost every Sunday. How do you receive Jesus Christ? You confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen? Amen. That makes you a child of God. But I want you to see something. But those who received him, that's those who confess and believe, to them He gave power to become the sons of God, especially to those who believe on his name. That means God has something greater than just your salvation in mind. Amen? God has called each of us to be kings. All right? He says, how did I lose that so quickly? Okay, but he gave power to become the sons of God. That's who we are, the children of God. Amen? And it, when I was growing up, we had a one family that was Jewish that lived down on the corner. We had another family that it was a divorced woman and her two daughters that lived across the street down the block over here. And, of course, being good, loving Christians, well, you've got those heathen down on the corner. They're Jews. They're on their way to hell. That's how everybody felt. And then you have this lady that she got a divorce. So she and her whole family, they're on their way to hell. And everybody was so critical because we as flesh, we as human beings, we judge others according to what we're good at. And so if we're good at something and they're not, if we have something and they don't, well then we're better. That we're right, they're wrong. Oh, they don't have a father in the house. Well, there's something sinful there going on. All right, there's something about the flesh that makes us very judgmental. Amen? But God has not called us to be of the flesh. Amen? He said that those who received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. What does that mean? He gave power to become the sons of God. He gave us the mechanism to become the sons of God, or the children of God. That way, ladies and guys are involved there. So what does that mean? That means that we have to use that mechanism. Amen? You have to choose to walk as a child of God or not. God is not going to come down and force you to walk as His child. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Alright? If we really love Him, we're going to do what we're supposed to do. But God didn't force us to get saved. He doesn't force us to love anybody. But if we want to have a life that shows what we really are, that we are children of God, well, then there's a life to live. And it's a life that makes a difference. Amen? The Christian life changes things. The Christian testimony changes things. Amen? And we can try to hide it and become chameleon Christians and just blend in with the rest of the folks, alright? And we won't offend anybody. If you act just like your neighbors, they won't be mad at you at all because they look at you and you look like just like they do. And so there's nothing offensive there. But when you choose that you are going to love as God loved, that you are going to reach out and heal as God healed, as you are going to be a peacemaker as God is a peacemaker, then that kind of life is going to make a change. Also going to make some enemies. Amen? And that's okay, because I've always said, you know, if I don't have the devil upset with me, then I'm doing something wrong. All right? The opposite of that is God don't spank the devil's children. But in the same way, if you're doing just fine according to the devil, chances are your life is not changing other lives. Amen? See, now that you've become a believer, Satan really doesn't care. He'll go ahead and bring some trials and some sickness and some stuff like that to keep you from letting your light shine. But, you know, he's already lost you. He really doesn't care. But if he can keep you covered up and bewildered by the cares of this world, then he wins. If you are so covered up and you know, with what is going in your life right now, that your next door neighbor who is hurting, who is whatever, and you don't have the time to deal with them, to share just a little God loves you or whatever, then Satan's got you just exactly where he wants you. Amen? So I'm just going to go ahead and shut up, and the church says amen. And I'm going to say, look it, next time we meet, it's going to be 2025. You remember back in the 60s, there was a song, in the year at 25, I wonder if man is even going to be alive. In the year 2025, what difference is your life going to make? I truly hope that the people that my life touches can go to their grave saying that Dale never did me wrong. He always did good. I hope that's the testimony that I leave behind. That people have been blessed because of my life. And they don't feel that they are less of a person because of the impact that I've had on their lives. So in 2025, I'm going to let my light shine a little bit more. I'm going to throw some gas on it. Throw some gas on those flames. Amen? All right. And all it takes is just a little bit more being cognizant of, yes, I'm walking down this hallway, but I'm walking down this hallway as a child of God. I am a child of God. My life makes a difference. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm not nobody. The King of Kings died for me. And He rose again to give me victory. When you walk down these hallways, when you're with somebody in the elevator, you be in that elevator as a child of God. To them gave He the He gave power to become the sons of God. The children of God. Amen? That's who you are. That's who you are. The devil's going to do everything he can to get you to forget that. But you just remind yourself, I'm a child of God. I make a difference where I show up. Amen? Amen. Now, last night I was at this wedding. It was a big wedding. Like 800 people were there. I mean, it was just a huge, huge wedding. And Pastor Voorhees was so funny. 10 minutes, Bishop. Only 10 minutes. He knows what happens if I get a microphone in my hand, right? Only 10 minutes. I kept it at 8, Terry. Believe it or not, I kept it at 8. All right. But how could that happen? Pastor, why don't you do that in this church? All right. But what was so fun is afterwards, as they were, you know, you had the wait staff going around with the little hors d'oeuvres and stuff, is all the pictures and everything that were being taken care of. It takes about an hour after the ceremony. So you sit around and you're drinking coffee and eating little fruit things on a stick and whatever. And there was this one young lady that I was sitting there and I was minding my own business, and she came out of the door where the servers were coming out of, and she looked and she came right over to me and she said, "Would you like this?" And I said, "Yes, thank you." She says, "Now I want a blessing." Nobody else got asked for a blessing last night. Why God chose me? But see, that's why we're put here. When we say to be a blessing, we be a blessing by blessing. And I did a quick little prayer over her. And she just had a smile on her face. She scurried off and went about her responsibilities. May everybody that you come across this year leave with a smile on their face, because they will know that they have been in the presence of a child of God. Father, thank you for this day.